Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning. Thank you for coming so early in the morning. First, I want to apologize for my English. No, Spanish is my first language, so any mistake is my responsibility. I am an economist and a professor at the Health Services Administration Department at the School of Public Health of the University of Puerto Rico. I have been there for 14 years, and I am also a researcher in the public health arena. First, I want to say something also about Puerto Rico. For those of you who don't know anything of, know a little bit about Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is an island in the Caribbean. If you know a little bit about geography, it's, you have Cuba, you have Haiti and Dominican Republic, and then you have Puerto Rico. We have around 4 million inhabitants in Puerto Rico, but we have another 4 million Puerto Ricans living in the States. So half our nation is outside the island, okay? We have been a U.S. territory since 1898, after 4 centuries of Spanish colony for 4 centuries, okay? So in Puerto Rico, our main language is Spanish. So we have some people here that have visited Puerto Rico recently. So, okay. So, talking about the presentation this morning, I am going to tell you about the study that we did recently, in where we evaluated the effect of the smoking-free workplace ban law that was implemented in Puerto Rico recently on the exposure to secondhand smoking on employees and clients in the hospitality industry in Puerto Rico. I don't have no relationship to disclose, okay? As you know, after the Surgeon General informed in 1972, you know, there has been a big movement around the world to protect non-smokers from the effect of of environmental tobacco smoke. Also, recently, the World Health Organization approved a tobacco treaty. And one of the measures that is promoted is precisely the implementation of bans in smoking bans around the world to protect non-smokers. But I understand the United States has not signed that treaty. I think I'm correct, though. No? So,
not ratified.
But without ratified. And Puerto Rico, being a U.S. territory, in that sense, wasn't able to be part of the treaty. But in March of the year 2006, after a long battle by the anti-tobacco movement in Puerto Rico, we were able to sign a new law that was the Law 66 that amended the law previous Law 40 that regulated smoking in Puerto Rico. And that was a big success for the anti-tobacco movement in Puerto Rico. That law prohibited smoking, ban smoking in all public places, no, including bars, restaurants, casinos, hotels, pubs, and also in workplaces, and also in cars that have any passenger under age 13. Okay, and that was a big success. And part of after the law was signed, one of the main concerns was to be able to evaluate the impact of the law. The law was signed in the year 2006, but the law was supposed to become in effect a year after, in March of 2007, okay? So the objective of this study was to measure the impact of the smoking-free workplace smoking ban implemented in Puerto Rico on the exposure of ETS on employees and clients of the hospitality industry in Puerto Rico, but particularly due to the limited resources that we have to do this study, we did the study only in the metropolitan area of San Juan. The metropolitan area of San Juan has around 1 million people, so covers around 1/4 of the population, okay? So in terms of the outcome variables that we use in the study, we look at respirable particulate matter, RPM, levels in a sample of hospitality industry establishments. And also we look at cotinine levels in the saliva of casino of a sample of casino employees as a proxy for exposure to GTS. As you know, cotinine is a biological marker for the exposition of the human body to nicotine. Okay. The design of this study was a pre-post design. Okay. We had baseline measurements that were taken, 1 or 2 months before the implementation of the law in March of 2007. So we did measurements in January and February of 2007, and then we did post measurements after 6 months after the law was implemented. So between September to December of 2007. In terms of the samples, we decided to take two different samples. One is a sample of establishments, okay? And we took a random sample, representative samples of restaurants, pubs, discos, and casinos in the metropolitan area of San Juan. We started with 75 establishments, but then we ended with 65. So the per sample is 65 establishments. And then we took a random sample of casino employees that belong to the labor unions that organize, employees in the tourist sector in Puerto Rico. Okay? So we use two different samples. Okay? From those casino employees, two of them end up being smokers, and 20 were non-smokers. In terms of the procedures to do the study, we did air samples, in the establishments, in the sample of establishments. And we used the personal aerosol monitor, manufactured by the TCI company, okay, to measure the RPM levels. Okay? After we send the research team to the field, and they asked for the authorization of the owners of the establishments that were selected for the study. And then they took a 20-minute air sample in where every 50 seconds, the personal aerosol monitor took an air sample, okay? And we instructed the research team to do the sampling in the same place every time that they go to the same establishment, in the same place and more or less at the same time, day of the week and time of the hour of the day, okay? And then also they asked some questions to the owners of the establishment in terms of the amount of people, clients that they received. They did some observations. They asked for the area of the facility and other questions about the implementation of the law. Then we had the samples of casino employees, okay? I repeat, at the end we had 22 employees. Two of them were smokers, 20 were non-smokers. Okay, they were invited to the facilities of our medical science campus. Over there, they, after all the necessary procedures, informed consent, they were informed about the study. We took the saliva sample from each of them. We did it the week before the law was implemented, and then we did it after 9 months after the implementation of the law, okay? Also, we did a short interview in where we asked some sociodemographic variables and health indicators about the individual, and also about the implementation of the law in their workplaces. And the saliva then was sent to Pennsylvania to the Salimetrics laboratories, and they were processed there, and they sent us the results for wave one and wave two, okay? And this is the information about the company if you are interested to know more about the details of the, okay? So in terms of the statistical analysis, we are going to show some descriptive statistics about the different variables. We perform some pair t-test for each outcome variable because these are repeated measurements, okay? And the variable is a continuous variable. We also did some log linear multivariate regressions to control for some potential confounders. And also we tried to take into account the repeated measurements in the regressions by using generalized least squares and random effects. Okay, for the these are the descriptive statistics for the sample of the establishments. Okay. At the beginning, we had 75, as I told you, 38 restaurants, 27 discos and pubs, 10 casinos. Those are the percents. And they were distributed along the different municipalities and counties that are part of the metropolitan area of San Juan. Okay, here are a description and statistics test of the level of RPM for each type of establishment. First, if you look at the casinos, pre and post, and then disco and pubs, pre and post, restaurants, and for the whole pool sample. I'm going to show it in a graph. It's easier to see, okay? Here in the graph, you can see the mean level of RPM that is measured in terms of milligrams by a cubic meter. And you can see for the difference between pre and post for each group, okay? These are very significant differences. Then I'm going to show you, you know, a big reduction for each group. I'm going to show you this difference in terms of percentage difference. As you can see for casinos, the decrease was almost 93% in the levels of RPM. Okay. For discos and pubs, 95%, restaurant 83%, and for the total pool sample was 92.3%. So a big difference. Okay. Here, okay, this looks very complicated. These are the regressions that we perform. If you look through columns, look at the last column, model 4, in where we included in the regression a dummy variable representing the implementation of the ban, smoking ban. And you see a coefficient of negative 0.721. So that's since it is in logs, this implies a reduction in 72%. And we are controlling for the number of people, of clients, that were in the establishment at the time that we took the measurements, okay? And also, we are controlling for the type of establishment. We did some interactions. As you can see at the middle, you can see that the dummy for interaction between law and casinos is significant and is negative. So that implies that for casinos, the effect was higher than for the other establishments, okay? Oh, the questions are supposed to be at the end, okay? So any question, please write it down, and we answer at the end of the panel, okay? Here is a comparison that I took for this other study, and where they compare the results for different studies in different places. As you can see, the percent reduction in all these studies, you know, go from 70 to 90-something percent. So our results, you know, are very comparable to the results that other places have had after the implementation of a smoking ban. So in that sense, we are very comfortable with our results. I'm very happy too. Okay. So in terms of the casino employee sample, we had 22 at the beginning, no? And that's the mean, the discrete statistic for the age, sex. Most of them were male, no? And most of them work as croupiers. Croupiers, that's the word, correct word, croupiers, those that work in the casino with the people that are gaming, inspectors. Inspectors are government employees that are assigned to each casino, and they oversee the whole process. So they go from one casino to the other. They don't work with a particular casino, and they were part of our sample, okay? These are the means and the different statistics for each of the for the cutting in levels pre and post. We decided to only to present results for the 20 employees that were non-smokers, okay? And here you can see the graph, the mean of the cutting in level, that is nanograms by milliliters. I think that's the unit of measurement. Pre and post the implementation of the law. In terms of percentage, you can see difference. This is the absolute difference, and then the percentage difference. It's a difference of 51%, a 51% reduction in cotinine levels for the casino employees. And here we did a regression, and where we try to control because since when we took the saliva sample from each employee, they differ in terms of the hours after they left their last shift. We needed to control for that because we had people that maybe they left their job, their shift after 1 or two or three hours, and other ones that maybe left a day before, you know, a day after, I mean. So we control for that, and still the effect is very significant, okay? Here, since we are measuring the units in terms of logs, now the effect is even larger. It's 70% reduction in the cutting levels, okay? So conclusions, no? The implementation of the workplace smoking ban in Puerto Rico was very effective in reducing exposure to secondhand smoking for employees and also from clients, of course, no? In the hospitality industry in the metropolitan area of San Juan. I must to emphasize, this was a sample in the metropolitan area of San Juan. We haven't done any study for establishments in the rest of the island, no? So that's one type of study that we need to do to see what happened in the rest of the island, okay? So, but we understand that it's important still, even though the results are very positive, we think that we need to put more resources in terms of monitoring the compliance of the law, and also in educating the employers, employees, clients, and general public on how the law is supposed to work. Because we found out that there is many people don't understand really how the law is supposed to work, particularly owners of small businesses. So we need to do some kind of outreach to educate them and to work with them, not to better implement the law. And also, we understand that the law could be improved, no, and make more effective. Okay, so that's our presentation. Thank you.